Mike Rowe, and this is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
Why is it the guys with the worst gigs are the happiest people?
Today was payday, actually, so that's the only reason I'm smiling.
Hard-working men and women who earn an honest living.
It's okay. This scared the hell out of me. I thought it came back to life.
Doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
That wasn't good, was it?
Well, it's a start.
Now, get ready to get dirty. Coming up on Dirty Jobs. I put the squeeze on a wild sponge.
Oh, boy. He's a big one. Look at him.
With the help of a father-son team.
Yeah, you can put those higher, huh?
I know. That's what I'm doing.
Wow. Get him telling the captain what to do.
And I'm pretty sure everything will go smoothly.
Relax on. Something up with your mask. Stop there.
It's just sponges. Is it really this complicated?
We'll make it complicated.
No, kidding.
And later, I have a devil of a time with the fence post from hell. Oh, God. Today, we got an itch to visit Tarpon Springs, Florida, where they have birds, boats, and camera equipment. Lots and lots of camera equipment.
You see all this gear? How are you going to get all this gear on this boat? Dave, why do you have so much gear?
I blame Doug. He's an idiot.
Doug.
Look at him. He's reading manuals trying to figure out all the gear he's got.
As our little series gets more and more mature, we have more and more gear. We have endless gear now. We still have basically the one Doug, but now Doug has many boxes. So Dave has procured another boat. Pete's going to bring the other boat over. We're going to put some of the gear on that. And then that boat, Dave, you know what that boat's called?
Pete doesn't even have a name. I asked yesterday. He goes,
okay, so a nameless boat captained by a guy named Pete is going to come to help us get our gear so we can hop aboard the Anastasia, go get some sponges.
Can you explain this new preponderance of equipment?
Yeah. Look at that.
Look at what?
Sexy.
That's Amber. She's been with us for like a couple of weeks now. You talking about this thing?
Dude, we actually own this?
We're renting it.
What do they charge you for that?
Too much.
Just a second.
Exactly what it is.
Show you something extraordinary. My name is Lufa. I live on the second floor. We really are children, aren't we? I don't need your judgment, Amber. Listen, man, I can't think of much. I'm running out of weird crap. It's been 5 years. These ride a little high. I don't want to see this on Facebook. I got my dignity to protect. Is it crazy to walk with these?
And so, after giving my image and the show's integrity some serious consideration.
It's a beautiful day in Tarpon Springs, Florida. The sun is shining. The seas are calm. The docks are covered with seagull crap and chicken bones and sponges. Abound. Sponge is an amazing thing. This whole community was built upon them. Thousands of different varieties, single-celled organism. This one's called a wool sponge. We're going to go out there today, see if we can find a few. Or maybe a few of these. What can I tell you about sponges that you don't already know? Well, back in the day, they were quite the discovery. You see, in olden times, people really had no efficacious way in which to bathe themselves. They had to pour water directly onto their bodies. That's no way to go. The sponge allows you to go in and squeeze and wring stuff out and then apply to make yourself fresh and clean, smelling, and beautiful. That's what I'm going to do today. Get fresh, clean, smelling, and beautiful after I get filthy, stinky, dirty.
Tarpon Springs is a peaceful coastal resort city on the Gulf of Mexico in central Florida. Back in the early 1900s, sponge diving was introduced to the area by a man who recruited veteran divers from the Greek islands. The sponge harvesting industry in Tarpon Springs took off, generating millions of dollars every year. Greek immigrant Tasso Karistinos and his son Enestos continue the tradition with their shop, Sponge Diver Supply, and their boat, the Anastasia.
There we go, buddy.
We're heading out to the sponge beds divers have been harvesting for 100 years.
Arr.
I'm assuming there'll be a few left for us.
So this is Enestos Karistinos, and he is the What are you, the mate? You the captain? You're the what?
I guess you could say the first mate.
Now, your dad's a captain then.
Right.
That's got to be weird. You say you're the first mate for your dad. Basically, you just do whatever you're told.
Yeah.
It's simple that way.
Yeah.
How long have you been a sponge guy?
I've been diving for about 25 years.
Always for sponges or just diving in general?
Spearfishing and sponge diving, yeah.
And everything that has a Greek feel here in Tarpon Springs?
The community was settled by Greeks over 100 years ago, specifically for sponge diving. I think it originated in the Mediterranean thousands of years ago when sponges would wash up on the beach and they found out they had a use for them and they started diving in the depths to collect them and sponge harvesting began.
Like the sponge business, it's still a big going concern. I mean, don't you have people out there making these things out of man-made stuff?
Yeah, there is a demand for man-made sponges, but this particular sponge, they're organic, environmentally friendly, and they're a renewable resource. So when we cut them from the bottom, they grow right back.
So the sponge beds that we're going to today are how far out?
We're probably going about 15 miles out today. And they're the same exact sponge beds that they were harvesting sponge off of over 100 years ago.
It's an organism. It's a single cell?
Yeah, it's right next to the amoeba. It's classified as Porifera, which is basically a filter feeder. What you see here is the skeleton remains of a sponge.
It's got to admit, man, there's a funk on the boat.
Yeah, well, there is animal matter decomposing, and it leaks out in a milk form. We call it gurry. A chocolate, really horrible type of milk. Oh, yeah. And push your hands on it and lean forward.
Right.
See that juice coming out?
That's gurry?
That's gurry.
Ah, that's sponge diarrhea, basically, is what that is.
Worse, yeah.
Oh, SpongeBob Asspants.
It's a beautiful day on the Gulf of Mexico, and even though it's several miles to the sponge beds, the Anastasi is not a pleasure boat. It's a working boat.
A little deck maintenance then?
Yeah, we have to arrange the deck so we can make room for today's catch, and it'll stick together if we don't move them.
Tasso?
Tasso.
How do you spell that?
T-A-S-O, Tasso.
T-A-S-O.
It's easy, yes.
All right, and what are you doing now?
You're just... Now, I wet them down a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to squeeze them and move them on this eye right here. I give you a pair of gloves.
All right.
And you do what I do.
I'll do what you do.
These ones I got it yesterday.
Uh-huh.
This one's right here day before,
uh-huh.
And this one's 3 days ago. They already start deteriorate. If you see, they get the spongy form.
Yeah, and you want them to deteriorate, right?
Yes, that's the idea.
And that's why you keep them underneath the blanket?
Yes, I keep them there so they cannot dry, because if the sun hit it, they dry, and that's very hard to be clean.
That's
the idea. And we let them actually what it is, we follow like the dying process, the deterioration. Sometimes takes 3 days, sometimes takes 4 days. And then they're ready to be clean.
All right.
Now, for the animal mallet, whatever they say, has in there to come out, to breathe in, to drain a little bit better. So what we do this. See all this gurry?
Yeah, the gurry.
Yeah. Now that one, because it's not that dead,
right.
Use this one.
Gotcha. You've been doing this all your life now, you're so saying?
I've done this for 36 years. Let me give you a smelly one.
Thank you for that. That's a big boy. How much is this worth, you think?
For me, maybe $10 from the gift shop or the place they sell in the retail, maybe $50 to $80. You got it. You kill it.
All right.
Love this one. You're doing good. Sometimes you have to do a 500 of them, sometimes 600. Depends how many you catch.
But that's good, right? The more you're doing, the more money you're making.
You got it.
Right?
Now you speak Greek all of a sudden.
So will this sponge be sold just like this, or would they cut it? Will they make it smaller?
They cut it to the size they'd be useful.
What's it eat? How's it live?
I know you filter plankton.
He's plankton.
Plankton.
So, like, where's the food come in? Like, where would its mouth be?
Well, they just filter nutrients through these holes on the side,
and
the big holes in the top, they pump the water out.
So that's like its butt, basically. Really?
Oh, wow. There isn't a nervous system or any organs, so it wouldn't have a butt.
It's not such a thing, female or male. They're all the same thing.
How do they breed? How do you get sponges, new sponges?
Once a year, I guess, they discharge thousands of little seeds in the form of dust. And they tie a spore, turns them away, and you know, takes them away, and they set them to the rock, and they regrow. A lot of them, I guess, they just get lost.
And when we cut them,
a lot of them,
they regenerate right where we cut them.
Right.
So even if a little piece like that stay on the rock, still they're going to regrow.
Interesting.
The amazing buttless sponge, becoming more fascinating by the minute. In anticipation of our catch today, we've got to clear some space from the front of the boat.
You toss to me, I toss to you?
Yeah.
Moving sponges. How hard can it be?
Toss it to the deck. That's what you mean.
There's no roll them kind.
Oh, roll them.
Yeah, you go.
Oh. I think these smell worse than the last batch.
Now, these are grass sponges.
Yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What's she worth?
Over $100 sponge.
Oh, that's interesting. So they're basically $100 bills lying all over the ocean floor.
Sure.
Spent a lot of time bent over, huh, Captain? Yeah, as long as you're bent over, might as well pick something up, right?
Yeah, you can put those higher, huh?
I know, that's what I'm doing.
Make some room to walk around over there.
Wow.
Get him telling the captain what to do. Bold move.
Coming up, our duct tape supply is plentiful.
Once again, it's always the duct tape.
Unfortunately,
something went stop complete.
Our air supply, not so much.
Maybe the pressure lacks it. Something lacks
it. No way.
Hey, you want to go down?
It's smooth sailing for me and the crew once again. Later, feel my pain in real time as a tiny job grows into a monster.
If the sun goes down, tide goes out, well, it doesn't matter. I'm here till the post is out.
Time now to prepare for our dive. With the help of a high-tech product that helps connect the breathing hose to the pump.
Once again, it's always the duct tape, the secret ingredient.
That's amazing stuff, huh?
Our whole show's held together with it. You getting this? Basically, duct taping these two lines together. About 800 feet. Shouldn't take but a minute.
It looks like a little situation here.
Because they work in relatively shallow water, sponge divers don't use scuba-type air tanks. They use these long, compressor-fed air hoses. Hoses hopefully spooled in neat piles that don't get tangled and cut off a rookie diver's only source of life-giving air.
If I understand it right, I'm going to have a lead vest on and a lot of heavy weight, and we'll be sinking quickly to the bottom. Hopefully there's a rope I can control my descent, because with a full face mask like this, you can't grab your nose to depressurize, right? So in here, you've got these two little plastic-coated dingleberries that sort of jut out at you, and what you have to do is you have to turn these and adjust them so they fit in your nostril, and then you can blow out into these things, which is kind of disgusting.
The other one,
if I'm certified for this.
Who's the other one back?
It must be. I'm here.
The other one.
Tasso keeps a close eye on the GPS and sonar, which indicate that we've finally arrived.
I can't be, what, 20 feet?
Yeah, we're about 24 feet. See those little jellyfish? That's a Portuguese man of war. They feel really good.
He seems modest in size.
Yeah, don't let his size fool you.
While the crew gears up, I suit up and get a new pair of shoes.
So you could really run strong across the bottom, across rocks.
Uh-huh. And of course, duct tape, once again, makes everything safe and secure.
Okay, fellas, to the cameras.
Once Doug and Troy are in the water, we realized we hadn't discussed currents in this area, which, as it turns out, are pretty serious. In a matter of moments, the boys are dragged several yards from the boat. While we're thinking everything's fine, it's taking all their strength just to keep from getting swept away. The extra weight and the bulk with cameras and air tank more than doubles the drag the current exerts on them.
Are you okay?
Troy, you all right?
What do you need?
Troy's response time is half of what it usually is. Not a good sign. Ernestos quickly grabs his camera.
Yeah, I'm rethinking the hood.
This guy, the vest hood or just the hood hood?
Just the hood. That's a situation to put that on.
Troy's cold and incredibly winded. He can barely catch his breath.
You don't need to take your arms off.
Yeah, I know.
Troy really didn't like the idea of wearing a hood until he got in the water.
I need to adjust my...
You adjust the strap on my mask, which is behind you.
Hey, I'm waiting. What are we doing?
Wait on Troy.
I need a minute to get my breath.
Once Troy's back in the water, it takes about 3 seconds for the guys to be back in the same predicament.
Troy lost his spin. I'll have the heart to tell Dave. First his head, now his feet.
Okay, well, don't watch your fingers. Watch your fingers.
Totally spent.
Wasted.
Wasted or not, Barsky does have a show to shoot.
Troy, if you can't do this, I gotta make the call right now.
Actually, you know what? I think you split the difference. Why don't you come up, get your breath, get squared away, and come join us.
Yeah.
He's gonna act.
Make it look easy.
What am I doing, man? Like, my boots are all jacked up. I got one of my cameramen nearly drowned.
Okay.
It's just sponges. Is it really this complicated?
We'll make it complicated.
No kidding, man.
Ay-yay-yay.
Go ahead and... Wow. Oh, just the one hair. Nothing to worry about.
This is about 65 pounds. Okay, he's going to jump in. Mr. Rowe, you go ahead and get on this ladder right here. Okay, go find some sponge.
Lexus, something up with your mask stuff there.
Says something's wrong with the mask.
Come back to go up, yeah.
Stay up, wait a minute. Come back up.
When he gets all the way to the bottom, Tasso's mask stops working. He has to come back up.
I can't breathe, man.
Hit that and it'll give you some air. Try it one more time.
Tasso and I are wearing special masks, rigged for underwater communication. Talking works fine. Breathing?
Something,
man. Not so great.
Something, man, something. Stop complete.
This is a very dangerous mask, man.
Yeah, see if that's
Maybe the pressure locks it. Something locks it.
No way. No way.
Hey, you want to go down?
Want to try mine?
Let me have it.
I'm all for sticking my neck out a little bit, but this whole thing is making me really queasy in the pit of my stomach.
I don't know, man. A lot of hope. A lot of hope and faith and dreams.
Coming up.
We have a diver over here filming the anchor.
Big mistakes make Barsky ready to sacrifice a cameraman.
It's a heck of a situation, you tackle.
He may even sacrifice me.
Oh, boy.
But Dave will never sacrifice audio quality.
You'll be able to hear all of my bad language and cries of terror crystal clear.
This is the first sponge I've ever cut off of the ocean floor.
Hey, sir, work, work.
Time to get some sponges and come on up. We get out of here.
You know, in all the hubbub, we kind of forgot about Doug. Just floating around out there. Oh, well, he'll be fine.
I'm still not clear what to do if something really goes wrong down there.
Take off the mask, drop the lead, swim right to the top.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That seems reasonable.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just bringing back a lot of memories, to tell you the truth.
I hope good memories.
No.
Yeah, this takes me back to diving with sharks in the Bahamas. All of a sudden, way down on the bottom, no air. Good times.
I was out of air. I didn't breathe. From the bottom up, 45 feet down. Out of breath of air. And went.
So, that unpleasant memory is putting me a little on edge right about now. Fortunately, Dave senses my discomfort and says he'll cancel the shoot if I'm too chicken to make the dive. Cordial, even under stress. I politely decline his offer.
I got an out. I don't need an out from you. Oh, yeah, you do. I don't need from you, dude.
Well, then I'm asking you.
I don't care what you're asking.
You say yes or no.
Golf.
What? Yes or no?
Yes or no. Well, I mean, I'm in a constant fear, you
No reason. Be rude about it. Come on. I'm asking. You don't have to call me names.
Look, put one of Thank these on. We'll have a conversation. Let's choke the life out of you. Watch the expert nearly drown. And then we'll chat about rudeness.
Well, he knew he was drowning, though, so he got out.
He's an expert.
I don't know.
Right. Start losing your breath, you're drowning.
It's what?
If you start losing your breath, you're drowning.
No, I remember the feeling, dude. That's when I'm back in the Bahamas now. I get the whole thing. Yeah. It's that.
You're starting to remind me of that, too. Right? And you made it through that one, so happy ending all around.
What point does a man learn his lessons, you know?
Yeah. What point? In the Bahamas, it's the Gulf, the other side of the panhandle, the other side of the peninsula.
All right, so as I understand it, I'm going to take the one that Pasu just tested, and he's going to put on something that he trusts a little better. He won't be able to talk, so you won't be able to hear him, but you'll be able to hear all of my bad language and cries of terror. Crystal clear.
Last time. Oh, boy. Okay, trying to decompress, trying to equalize. It's very frustrating not being able to hear him. He's taking my hand, putting it through a loop. Ah, no, he's telling me to hold on to this yellow cord and follow him. And now we are running across the bottom, looking for sponges. He's handing me the knife. We found a sponge. We'll now attempt to cut the sponge. Cutting a sponge. This is the first sponge I've ever cut off of the ocean floor. Nearly through. And through. The sponge has been removed. The sponge goes into the bag. I thought that went pretty well. Let's go get another one.
Back on the boat, Troy's caught his breath. He's finally ready to join us.
Okay, this is a good spot. Just go in and go straight down, okay? To your right, to your right. Right over there. They're about 10 feet in front of those bubbles.
As Troy slowly makes his way over to us, I'm kind of doing the zero gravity shuffle.
Oh, several sponges down here. Some of these things look like little cactus. Look at that. That's very cool. I'm struggling to stay on the bottom. I'm too buoyant. Here's a sponge with our name on it. I'm going to pull this one off. Here we go. Into the net it goes.
Meanwhile, believe it or not, Troy can't find us. So, being the responsible cameraman he is, he begins to shoot B-roll, starting with the boat's anchor, then moving on to squiggly things and little ball things and square things with long tails and things that look like the alien and bowling balls for nine-fingered bowlers. And finally, things that make him realize he's just been going in circles.
We have a diver over here that must be filming the anchor.
He's surfacing. Troy! Troy!
Swim on the surface! No! It's a heck of a situation you got, Cole.
Just in case he's never found, Troy documents his possible final moments. Probably less than 50 feet away from Troy, the sponge harvest is going swimmingly.
Hard to walk. Hard to float. Hard to keep up with this guy. Oh, boy, he's a big one. Look at him. Look at that. Beautiful.
Up top, Dave notices that Troy is now drifted to the other side of the boat, where he continues to shoot fascinating shots of empty water. But still has yet to shoot interesting shots of Tasso and me.
Wait a minute, I think he missed them.
No way.
Yeah, see these bubbles past them. See that? I think he's further south. Totally missed them.
The situation is, even if he wanted to come this way, he won't be able to pedal against the current.
The currents in this part of the Gulf are relentless. So Troy's day is done, and Dave sends the equipment boat to pick him up.
Tell you what, it's a good thing we have that extra boat out there to round these fellas up.
It's a good thing because Troy might very well have drifted out into open water and we would have lost these magnificent tapes of unforgettable footage. Close call.
Carnivorous sponges have been found around the world. Sponges do not have mouths or stomachs, so they use their cells to engulf the flesh of their victim, each cell digesting a tiny part of the captured prey.
Praise God, the dive was finally over.
What is that? You crazy old man.
We really need about 20,000 more.
Though. Hey, that's great, man. That's great.
Oh, here we go.
Current's crazy.
That's a finger sponge.
Right.
Yeah, okay. We got a few blue and yellow.
That's yes. Yellow.
Yeah, I got that one.
Okay.
I remember this one. Oh, that was a good one. A good time, this guy here. Thanks. Oh, and him. I'll never forget him.
That's grass.
That was my ashtray sponge.
And this you got a wool. Nice wool. Right there.
You know, that was my brain. My brain sponge. I looked at this. I thought, yeah, that's about it. I mean, really.
So,
I wish the other camera was working and we can talk, man.
I know. I had so many interesting things I wanted to tell you.
Me too.
I know. The stuff we could have said.
I tried to talk through my regular. I was frustrated.
We're screaming at each other. Just bubbles. We're down there. Couldn't find anything but Nemo.
Troy, we were looking for you guys, but he kept on missing you. He, like, overshot you twice.
A typical day's catch would be about 750 sponges. We didn't quite make the quota.
And that's all we got. It doesn't look like that much here.
If Tasso hadn't slowed things down, whining about his mask, it might have been a whole other story.
Okay, so we are now much closer to home, I guess, huh?
Yeah, we have a little bit more work to do, though. We need to clean the sponge that are ready to clean so we could open up the deck a little more. Hopefully make the sponge so it just has clear, clean water in it. What we're going to want to do here is fill it up with water.
Nice.
Slam it on the deck.
I see.
Squeeze the water out of it.
Squeeze it out.
If it's not clear, repeat the process.
It's like a shampoo.
All right. Spray it all the way around.
I probably should be paying attention, but the flies on this boat are driving me nuts.
Clean?
Are you ready?
I'm ready, man. I'm in. Keep an eye. Watch my back.
I got
the
your
flies.
Back.
Oh, look at all the poo coming out of it.
Side to side. Quickly. Fast.
What's their rush, man? What's their rush?
We have 2,000 of them to clean.
Everybody's in such a hurry anymore, you know? You gotta hurry with the gurry and the fringe on top. Yeah, give me an. Oh, look at that. This one still doesn't smell good. That's a bad sign, right?
Fill it up with water and bang it down.
Hey, sponge it! Step on it.
Yeah, if we have to.
Yeah, I have to. Feels pretty good, actually. Hey, yeah. Not bad, huh?
Pretty good.
I mean, the fact that you said you've been in this same basic sponge bed now for 100 years, it really is a sustainable kind of fishery, if you think about
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, yeah. When we cut them, they release a spore, and the sponge that is left on the rock, it regrows. So basically, the more we harvest, the more sponge are available in the future.
That's like the opposite of every single fishery in the world.
Now, we clean 15 to 20,000 sponge like that on a trip.
Like this?
Yes.
Over how many days?
About 3-4 weeks.
15,000. That's in 20 days. Like 750 of these a day. You guys are earning your money, that's for sure.
And so the mighty Anastasi continues home, decks laden with the day's bountiful sponge catch that could net the Karestinos family and crew maybe $40. The dolphins, following us home, almost seem to mock us with their laughter. In just a couple of hours, we'll take our meager catch to the Acme Sponge and Chamois Company, where they'll do some serious additional deep cleaning, rinsing, and drying. Then, our pathetic handful of sponges will be trimmed of coral and shells before they're sized, sorted, and boxed up to be shipped to auto stores, paint and hardware stores, and beauty and bath shops all over the country. All thanks to the brave, hard-working sponge divers like the Karestinos. Coming up,
the charming tale of a magical fence post, a handsome prince, and a big fat hernia.
This is about the most tedious work a fella can do.
Not a day goes by, it seems, where somebody doesn't stop me and ask me what the dirtiest job I ever had was. I don't mind the question, really, but after 300 jobs, the answer gets a little complicated. I normally just say whatever the last one was, and we all go on with our lives. But I got this question in the mail the other day that asks kind of a similar question in a different way. This is from Stacy B., and Stacy says, "Dear Mike, tell me something. What was the hardest job you've ever done?" And that got me thinking, and I realized I didn't have an obvious answer. Because it's not something you've seen deliberately or intentionally featured. See, typically what happens with us, we go out to do a job, and we stumble across some unexpected task that is involved, but tertiary to the job itself. And the next thing you know, 3, 4, 5 hours of your life sucked away like that. Case in point, a guy named Ed who plugs abandoned mine shafts in Northern California.
Can we go down together?
Yeah, let's go down together.
All right.
I went there to help Ed plug the shafts, which was kind of interesting. But somewhere during the course of the day, we had to remove a fence post.
This stuff comes out?
Yep.
Just a regular old steel post that somebody had driven into the ground. It was in our way. Figured it would take about 3 minutes.
Probably a trick to it in there.
I would use a shovel.
So I took a shovel and a pick and I got busy. What happened next is just, well, Stacy B., hard. How'd you get that thing out of there, Mark?
I pulled on it.
Come on. I think this one's different.
It's different? Looks just like this one.
I love that sound. That's good. Maybe they poured concrete. Come on, man. Let's just pull that out of there.
Oh, okay, that's really in there. I gotta tell you, man.
Because I know you're a big, strong son of a gun, but that's in there.
This is about the most tedious work a fella can do. Rock hammer, iron post, 2 or 3 feet in the ground. Sometimes they just pop right out. Other times, they're stuck in there like an Excalibur. Much better than it did when it started.
As I struggled with this stupid piece of angled steel, everything was telling me I ought to just give up. It was the end of the day, after all. The crew was tired. Ed was tired. I was exhausted. But I couldn't stop, because in my warped little mind, I swore the post was going to pop out any second. Which I guess is the downside of my overly optimistic attitude.
No, not quite.
Hey, Mike, you know, the nice thing about that fence post being in there so well is that it's definitely going to go a long ways towards keeping the casual pedestrian from walking into the hole. Unfortunately, that's not much help to you right now as you're slaving away, toiling under your great burden there.
I was about to say you were a glass-half-full optimist kind of guy.
I am.
You wrapped it up with a half-empty sort of pessimist kind of guy.
Well, you know, I was looking at your glass then.
See, I'm a realist. I figure in a situation like that, the glass is twice as big as it needs to be. It's not the problem with the fluid. Somebody gave me the wrong glass. It's funny how your priorities will change during the course of a day, you know? I realize it's important work. As far as I'm concerned, there's no way this isn't going to get done. I'm confident. But the odds of this post getting out of the ground, to me, this has become, you know, seminal.
Well, it's going to come out.
That's when I know my day's over.
When the post is out?
Yep.
Ed tells me that 3 out of 4 people surveyed feel that good fence posts make good neighbors. He also tells me the steel fence post, along with barbed wire, was a powerful force in shaping the American West. Oftentimes, pitting the interest of farmers against ranchers. Unfortunately, he told me these things when our cameras weren't rolling.
Me and you, ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Hang on, that might have been the spleen.
Right now, I'm hoping Ed will regale us with more fascinating fence post facts. So I'm drawing him out by remaining completely silent. That's a technique professional TV hosts often use.
You know, I used to plan my vacations and my life around the maternity habits of bats.
Of bats?
Bats, yeah. About April 1st, they start gestating. But the cool thing is, they actually breed in September or October.
Right.
And then they'll either hibernate or migrate to, as the scientists say, escape in time or place to, for the winter. And so
they're pregnant when they hibernate?
No, they have, I think the technical term is called a spermatophore. They are carrying the stuff, but they haven't, I don't think they don't start gestating until April.
So it's 9 months, more or less.
No, well, it's 2 months.
Wait a minute, April, May, June, July, or September. You get knocked up in September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, 7.
You did the deed in September, but you weren't actually pregnant until April.
Well, what kind of diabolical sperm is that?
Well, it's one that wants to stick around for a while.
And what do you call it again?
Spermatophore.
Huh.
Is what I'm told it's called.
So they can lay the seed, literally, before it even ovulates or hits the egg, whatever, what do you call it?
Yeah. I haven't been there to watch them do it, but that's what they tell me happens.
I'm sure it's true.
If this were a show about bats, man, the last 10 minutes would have been pretty usable.
Probably come back here and do a bat retrospective. Lost my hat, Christmas. All I need is my lucky hat. With my lucky ball cap, I can pull this out.
There we go. Well, it's been a pleasure having you out here on the site. And
I'm not done yet, dude. I want the post out.
I think we...
I don't care. The sun goes down, tide goes out. It doesn't matter. I'm here till the post is out.
Okay.
You understand, right?
I do.
All right. Closure.
Absolutely.
I don't finish much these days. Least I can do is finish this.
Coming up, the action-packed finale, my fence post fiasco.
Pretty sure we can't use any of this.
Welcome back, everyone. When you last saw me, I was pulling out a fence post. Now, I'm pulling out a fence post.
Yup, the work is hard and frustrating. But the strong emotional support you can count on from your fellow team members really does make it all worthwhile.
I suppose the fact that I've gotten out like 3 posts and you're still on number 1 is weighing heavily on your mind, too?
Well, what do you do for a living?
Oh, yeah, this. Right. Yeah, you pull these out for a living. Right, that's good.
All right, Mike, you ready to try some extraordinary measures there?
What do you think I've been doing?
I've been watching it.
Get
your ass kicked. I'm going to pull on this post, and what I'd like you to do is smack the side of it with that hammer.
I'm going to pull on it. I'd like you to smack the side of it with a hammer.
All right.
Ready? It's personal now, remember.
All
sure we can't use any of this. All right, look, I'm just going to pull this out. Excuse me.
Okay. It's all you. All right, hang on. We're moments away.
I'm moments away from stroke.
You know, here's a bat tidbit about strokes.
Oh, God. This guy was determined to make a show about bats. Doesn't matter if there are no bats in it. He worked 14 hours digging a hole. We're going to bring it back to bats and Descartes. Oh. Dirty pig. Oh, you dirty post. 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 Haste. Bat. Snort. What's happening here from a physics standpoint? What's happening?
It was driven down through a bunch of rocks. So the same rocks that went down between are now acting like barbs on a drywall anchor or something like that.
I wish I'd have thought this through.
The tidbit was, in the vampire series of bats,
yeah,
their saliva has an anticoagulant property, so the blood will keep running. Well, that anticoagulant property is 18 times stronger than Coumadin, which is the best thing
we have for thinning blood.
Exactly. So they're actually doing work with saliva from the vampire series of bats for stroke victims.
I'm glad you stuck with that. That was worthwhile. Bad, bad. Oh! You pulled Excalibur out? I was going to do that. You thoughtless son of a
gun. That also get Guinevere, too, for you, doesn't it?
You get the what? Bang me over the head with it? What'd you say?
It means I also get Guinevere, too.
Yeah, take Guinevere. You can have her. I know how this story ends.
And I'm pretty sure I know how this story ends, too. With a rusty steel fence post and a sore, stiff back.
See you next time. You mind if I take the post? I'm taking it regardless.
Well, it comes down to this. If you go to discovery.com right now and suggest a brand new dirty job, my crew and I can keep working and keep dining on lobster, as is our custom. However, if you don't, we will lose our jobs and be forced back on the street. And we'll be dining on this. Our fate is pretty much in your hands.
Stupid head.
Lean around my neck, especially here, so avoid these rushes.
Yeah.
So you get a rush, and then become very pain in the ass out here if you have to dive every day for 20.
Points all our own. Way up high.
Depends who the doctor was.
Way up firm and high.